1 Kings chapter number 17. It is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers. I'm glad to see you here. I'm glad to see you fathers here as well. And just all you people, if you're not a father or mother, I'm just glad to see you as well. Did you know today was Happy Mother's Day? Did y'all know this? Everybody's aware of this? Okay. I'm glad we have this day to celebrate all the moms who are happy. Happy Mother's Day, yeah? And all you who aren't just happy, we'll just have to celebrate you some other day, okay? No, I'm kidding, but you do know that truly a happy mother is best, right? I mean, we know this. I know this. I live with a mother now, and I grew up all my life with a mother, and a happy mother is best. In fact, we all know that saying, if mother's not happy, nobody's happy. Absolutely. And mother has a unique way of teaching us things when she is not happy. And you all know this as well. Mom could always teach us about religion when she wasn't happy. She would say, you'd better pray that that comes out of the carpet. Right? And Mom could teach us about time travel when she wasn't happy. She would tell us, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into next week. And Mom could teach us about foresight when she wasn't happy. Make sure you wear clean underwear. Why is this? Might be an accident. I wouldn't have planned on being an accident, but Mom knew. Mom taught us about gymnastics when she wasn't happy. Just look at the dirt on the back of your neck. You had to be a real gymnast to do that. Mom knew all about osmosis. She could teach us about that when she wasn't happy. She would say, shut your mouth and eat your dinner. That's a little impossible, isn't it? And Mom taught us about envy when she wasn't happy. She would say things like, there are millions of children in the world who don't have parents like you do. Mom knew about weather. Looks like a tornado went through your room. And Mom knew about the circle of life. I brought you into this world and take you out. Yeah. In our text that we're about to read today, we read of a mother who for very good reason was not happy. Mothers know, and the rest of us should know, that being a mother can be the most thankless job in the world. It's the most demanding, the most self-sacrificing, the most draining, and the most unrelenting job in the world. There are many joys that motherhood brings, but there are a lot of difficult times that come with being a mom, and some completely unhappy moments. Amen, mothers? Today is Mother's Day, and we began our day. Miss Shanae got up, and she began to go ahead and get ready because me and the boys are fixing breakfast today. She makes it very easy for us. She said, I'd really like some toast and cereal. I'm like, okay, great. Now, I know she really would love some fried eggs and bacon and waffles or French toast or something, but she's nice to me and my 8 and 6 and 2-year-old to say, I'll just like some buttered toast. So as she's getting ready and we begin to fix the breakfast, Mr. Henry got a little sick. And he found the door where she was on the other side getting ready, and she couldn't have just a peaceful Mother's Day. She got a bang on the door and a, Mom, and about halfway through, Mom, here comes everything, you know. And I said, honey, don't worry about it, I'll get it. And she knows that I don't do well with these kinds of things. And she said, no, you got to go preach in a minute, I'll get it. So mothers, you know how these things are. Even on the one day of the year that you shouldn't have to do these things, you still have to do these things. So there's some difficult times of being mothers, and there's some joys to motherhood. And the difficult times that come with being a mom and these unhappy moments are part of what makes it so great to be a mother, because then you can enjoy the good times all the better. And as we look at this mother here today in 1 Kings chapter 17, known as the widow of Zarephath, we want to think about mothers today. Let's read together 1 Kings chapter number 17, beginning in verse number 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this is Elijah, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, and carried him up into a loft, where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretches himself upon the child three times, and cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came in into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child, and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him into his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Let's pray together. Father, we love your word, and we thank you for providing it for us here today. Lord, it's just a blessing to have your word and these Old Testament narratives that we read here, how wonderful stories they are as we read the historical accounts of these people who lived then, but also as we can relate to them as we live now. Father, as we look at this mother here who had a hard go of things, but Lord, you sent blessings into her life. Lord, we thank you for this encouragement we receive. That you'll bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you know from our study in First Kings, we finished up First Kings, but we took our time and studied through it. And you know that during this time, that God's judgment by way of famine was on Israel because of their idolatry. And God had sent this judgment through the voice of Elijah the prophet. He had gone to King Ahab and stood before him and said, It's not going to rain for 3 years. And it didn't rain for 3 years. And you can imagine what would happen in our land if it didn't rain for 3 years, and that's exactly what happened in their land because it didn't rain for 3 years. And in the midst of that larger story, we get sort of a side note here, a story of a mother who can teach us very much. We're going to look at two things about this mother. First, we're going to look at what made this mother unhappy. And the first thing I'll point out to you that's very obvious in the text here, this mother was unhappy because she lost her spouse. We all can understand this. If you noticed verse number 9 and verse number 10, we read that this woman in Zarephath was a widow. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, the Bible says in verse number 9, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. God sends Elijah to stay with this widow during the time of famine. So we see many of you can testify to the fact that losing a spouse will make you unhappy. Secondly, as we look at what makes this mother unhappy, we see that losing her support made her unhappy. Notice the rest of verse number 10 there down through verse number 12. It says she was gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. So she didn't have a spouse, but she also didn't have a means of support. Elijah simply asked her for a biscuit. You ever just want a biscuit? I love Hardee's biscuits. They have really good biscuits at Hardee's. I love my mother's biscuits. I probably should have prioritized those better, right? Good thing my wife is with our sick boy right now. I love my wife's biscuits. I love my mother's biscuits. And I love Hardee's biscuits. There, I put them in the right order, didn't I? And Elijah says here, Hey, get me something to drink. And she says, All right, I'll get you something to drink. She had water, evidently. And then he says, well, while you're up, any of you guys ever do that? Ladies, do the guys ever do that to you? You know, while you're up, honey, can you get me a glass of tea? And while you're in there, can I get a sandwich? And so Elijah asked for a biscuit here. Now, I've never met a lady in my life, and there may be some, but I've never met them yet, that it didn't warm her heart to feed others. It's just in you, ladies, and I'm glad it is, because I love to make you happy by eating your food when you bring it to the church or whatever we do together. Last week at the picnic was a lot of fun. We had so much food there. I don't know what we were going to do with it all, but it got gone. I mean, we ate it all. I think we had 500 hot dogs or something. I don't know how many it was. It was a bunch of hot dogs, but those things got eaten. It's a good time. But this widow had nothing left to offer. The one thing that was really in her to want to do, she was a willing servant. She wanted to go get this man a drink of water, and she had that. And then he asked for this piece of bread, this cake. She said, I don't have it. I wish I could have got enough for one more piece for my son and I, and then we're just going to die. And she said, I don't know what to tell you. She was planning this last meal for herself and her son. But God provided food to keep them alive. Notice verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, and go, and as thou said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Boy, that's bad when you get put in those situations, isn't it? When you know that this is all I've got left, and this is what I need for me, but God or somebody else requires it of them first, and you're thinking, if I do this, there's nothing left for me. This is all I've got left, and then I'm going to die. And it may be food, it may be money, it may be medicine, it may be strength, it may be emotional strength. I don't know what it is, but you say, this is all I've got left. And then God, it seems like a lot of times God will say, no, give me that. And that's hard to do, isn't it? And that's what Elijah asked over here. He said, make me a cake first and bring it unto me, and then go make for thee and thy son. Well, now that defies the logic. She had just said to him, I've got just enough for me and my son. And he said, well, make some for me first, then go make some for me and my son. I imagine she said right there, did you not hear what I said? Are you listening to me? Verse 14, but thus says the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. So she went and did, the Bible says, according to what Elijah had told her. And then she and he and her house did eat many days. She gave first to others. And then she should have run out. But the Bible says that she ate for many days. And then in verse 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. The widow had nothing left to offer, but God provided food to keep them alive. But then one final blow awaited this unhappy mother. First, it was that she had lost her spouse, and then it was that she had no means of support. And just as things seemed like they had been kind of going to turn around, after all she has gone through, things are maybe getting a little better because now we've at least got some food, she sees her son get sick and die. Notice verse 17 and 18. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. Her son got sick. And then we know that he goes on to die there. And mothers worldwide can testify to this similar happening. Maybe not the death of a child, but just as things begin to seem to get better, that's when they always, a lot of times get a little bit worse. And these are the things that makes this mother unhappy, and no doubt all of us in here today, when we face these types of things, causes us to be unhappy. And what do we know about when mother's not happy? Nobody's happy. So let's look at what makes mother happy. That'd be a happier way to finish the sermon, wouldn't it? And you can all leave here today happy, 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 right? Okay. What makes mother happy? Elijah takes this widow's son in verse number 19 and begs God to resurrect him. After three times of intense and physical prayer, this boy was raised back to life. And we can notice the response of this woman as she experiences not only the restoration of her happiness, but a confirmation that God was responsible and sovereign over her circumstances. In verse number 24, she says, by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. Well, that's a wonderful thing for her to be able to say, isn't it? I mean, she's lost her spouse. She was down to having nothing, and then God gave her something. But then right after that, she lost her son. And I know if she thinks like I do sometimes, I begin to think, oh, is that the trade-off, son? But she gets her son back. And through this, she begins to see that God is working somehow in my life. And she says to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is the truth." So seeing what made this mother happy, we can learn some lessons for when we are unhappy. The first lesson we can learn from this is that life has a way of disturbing our happiness. Can anyone testify to that this morning? Life has a way of disturbing our happiness. I would say that as we found this mother here this morning, this widow of Zarephath, that even in the shape that she was in, she was content there, because as Elijah comes to her, she's not whining, she's not complaining, she's content where she is. And we learn how to be this way as human beings. Other people may look on our situation and say, "I don't know how they do it." Or you may look on other situations and say, "I don't know how they do it." But we've learned to become content where we are, how we are, the way things are. When Elijah finds her, and as we come into her life in the reading here, she is left with nothing but herself and her son, and just enough to make one more cake of bread. I don't know what you imagine on the cake. I like to say biscuit, but I think it's one of these things like they do at the barbecue joints. It's like a pancake made out of cornbread. You know what I'm talking about? That's what I imagine that she's making. I don't know that for a fact. Probably not. That's definitely a North American, southeastern United States thing, I think. But that's what I always imagine she's making there. But she's content there. She's just out. She's at the gate of the city. She's going to get two sticks, enough to make a little bit of a fire to make this one piece of cake. And she's fine like that. But even in that poor of a condition, life had a way of disturbing her happiness. Like this widow, I wonder today if we have any unhappy mothers here. Perhaps you've lost a spouse, or maybe you've lost a child, or maybe you're not even a mother, but you are intensely unhappy with life. Life has a way of doing that to us, of disturbing our happiness. Situations come, circumstances come, trials come, sickness come, trouble comes. And our happiness is disturbed. We have to remember that these things will come. But if we endure, God will strengthen us, just like this mother here, and reward us. James writes this very much to us in James chapter number 1, verse 2 through 8. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Well, that's hard to say to somebody going into a trial, but James says it. James, if he were in the same time frame and talking to this lady here, he would say to her, as her son is found dead, simply by doing what the man of God told her to do, he would say, "You need to be joyous right now." That's essentially what James writes. That's a hard thing to say, isn't it? He says, "Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Life has a way of messing with our happiness. But if we'll just trust God through it, in the end, we'll be rewarded and we'll get that happiness back. Secondly, we learned from this woman here this morning that God works in ways that we may not know or may not understand. How many of you have faced times in your life where you had to say, the only thing you could say was, "Well, God's ways are not our ways"? We've all faced those times in life. And God works in ways that we may not know or understand. This widow had no idea a prophet would save her life and her sons when he came to her. All she knew was that some man that I don't know, I don't know where he came from, I don't know why he's here, doesn't he know that we're in a famine, and he shows up and asks me to bake him a cake? That's all she knows. She has no idea that God is beginning to work in her life in a way that she doesn't know. She's lost her spouse, thus she's lost her support, and she's about to lose her son, and Elijah is able to help her at all three of those areas. No matter what life may look like for you and I, we have to remember that God is at work. God is at work. First, He's at work crafting change in us. Now, we don't like change. We like for things to remain the same. Well, you may not, but I do. I want my things to stay like they are. I've got them like I want them, and I want them to be that way. They hung these lights in here this week, and I'm glad they're there, and I appreciate that change. But this area here is my workspace, and it got dirty. Man, it just drove me nuts, and I wanted to hurry up and finish because I was kind of coming behind them and wiping, and then they'd get it dirty again. I'm like, "Man, my Bible's going to go right there Sunday. Come on now." So I came over here last night after they got done and got the spray bottle out. We got every little nook and cranny, you know. I didn't want things to change. But God is at work crafting change in us. God allows things to break into our lives that will disturb us so that He can remake us. God has to bring change into our life because we aren't like we should be. None of us here today could stand and say, I'm just as God wants me to be. Because if you were, you'd be in heaven. You'd be in your glorified body. God has to bring change. So God is at work crafting change in us. God is at work preparing a connection between people. Elijah and the widow, before this chapter in the Bible, were living completely separate lives. But God brought them together to teach them about Himself. God is working that way in our lives as well. You may not like what He's doing. You may not like what you're having to go through. But God is at work preparing a connection between people. I did a wedding yesterday. Somebody that I didn't know, I knew the mother of the bride. And so they asked me to do that wedding. And I noticed these families. And it was very unique to watch, you know, one side sits here and one side sits there. They're not family yet. But they get those kids get married, and then they become family. Some of you have gone through that as well. And that's a wonderful illustration of what we're talking about here. God is at work preparing a connection between people. No matter what they thought of this bride and this groom and their marriage and all of the things that surrounded that, when that bride and that groom get married and their husband and wife, it's not two sides anymore after that, isn't it? I mean, you go to the wedding, the bride's family and the groom's family, but you go to the reception, and we're all together. And then Thanksgiving, Christmas, and all of these times, you're all together. And these are connections you would have never made on your own. Those of you who've had children get married, or those of you who've had brothers or sisters, or people, you've seen this in your family habit. Those are connections you'd never make on your own. In fact, those are connections you may not make, you may not want, even after the fact. You may say, boy, if we weren't family, well, we all got some family like that. God is at work. We have to realize that God has worked, not only crafting change in us to form us in who He'd have us to be, but preparing a connection between people to accomplish things that we would never think of. To this woman, she didn't want Elijah in her life. She didn't want any man in her life, especially not a man who the first thing out of his mouth was, get me a glass of tea, and while you're up, cook me a biscuit. Come on, say amen right there. I know it's early, but that's the truth. But it paid off. But that she was probably good there, but she really didn't want a man in her life. Then once he got under her roof, her son died. But in the end, she herself testified to the fact that this was God's will. So then God is at work empowering us to make a contribution. This widow provided food for Elijah. That was her contribution to the work of God. And then Elijah saved the life of her son. That was his contribution to her household. So we can learn today that God works in ways that we could not know or understand. Third, we can learn that God is faithful regardless of the circumstances. Boy, isn't that the truth? I mean, we've just got to have that as the given in our lives, the default. No matter what, God is faithful. I mean, we sing it, great is thy faithfulness, O God our Father. But we don't sing that when things get bad, when our happy is disturbed. It's hard to sing that. And we see what made this lady unhappy here. And then we see the things that made her happy here. And we see her testify to these very facts. And we can take this as our example here today and say just as well that God is faithful regardless of our circumstances. When her son was resurrected, she was happy as she could be. I would ask you today, what are you dealing with? Is it a wayward child? Hers was a dead child, but for you and I, a lot of times that may just be a child who's out of the ways that we hope they would be. Maybe you're having trouble with a spouse. I don't know what your trouble may be. Maybe you're like this lady and you're lacking the support you need to provide for your family. No matter what your trouble today, I would say to you, God can turn things around. And it won't be very long that you'll be just like this lady as her son is resurrected, as her barrel is full. She praises God for His faithfulness regardless of her circumstances. I want to close today by saying this. Much as I have preached to you about being happy, mothers can't always be happy. None of us can. We're not always going to be happy. But it's in the middle of life's toughest circumstances, these times that make us unhappy, that we make our deepest connections with God. When do you get on your knees the most? When things are the worst in your life. I'm not saying that God puts things in our life to drive us to our knees. But I am saying, don't dread those times so much. Because there is a lot of good from it. Some of the sweetest times you'll ever have with Almighty God are when things are the worst in the world. So there is some good even in those bad. But know in the end that after that time with God and after this time has passed in your life, you're going to come out of this thing and you're going to say, God is faithful. Hold to these lessons from this, I won't call her widow of Zarephath, let's just call her the mother of Zarephath, and let them anchor your soul in these troubled times. Let's stand for prayer this morning. I'm not going to have an invitation so much as just a time of prayer. I'll lead us, but I encourage you to pray as well. Take this time and thank God for those in your life, especially a mother who's made you who you are today. Even if your mother was not involved in your life, she gave you that life, brought you into this world. Thank God for that, if nothing else. And then thank God for the godly influences in your life, like a mother. People who've influenced you, who've encouraged you, who've helped you. But more than that, thank God for His faithfulness today. No matter how bad things may get in this life, God is faithful. Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful for Your Word today. And as we read of this mother who faced dire circumstances, Father, we can't imagine how she must have felt. Her husband was dead, then her son died. Father, what an emotional roller coaster. But Lord, through it all, we see that she testifies at the end of this story that You are faithful. God, help us to give that same testimony in our own lives. Thank You for our own mothers who give us this same kind of example. Thank You for those in our lives who are good godly examples, whether in our church or whether no matter where that may be. God, help us today, Lord, to give thanks as we should. Lord, most of all, thank You for You and Your faithfulness to us. We love You, Lord, and thank You for all Your goodness. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.